Alleluia, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. What if I told you that there will come a time when everyone is healed? Would you believe me? Let me begin by saying that science and modern medicine are gifts of God. I am simply amazed at what can be done to save life. One of our members this past week needed to have a new pacemaker to keep her heart beating and to stay alive. And that is what she got. And she is doing much better. It's a miracle. Thanks be to God. This same past week, another member lost her husband to death. His time had come. He and his family had been suffering for quite some time. And then this past Friday night, we had our fall family night with nearly 100 people in attendance and at least 10 new families that haven't yet worshiped with us but are either part of our preschool ministry or friends. And among all those new faces that joined us, there was a little boy who was all of 5 years old who is surviving and healing from cancer that we have been praying for. What does it mean that we are surrounded by these miracles? How come prayer is such a powerful discipline? James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 says this, "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. There seems to be a connection between sin and sickness. What if we thought of sin as a sickness or a disease that someone can be healed from? People who say and do hateful things, criticizing others, are sick. They need healing. What if we prayed? I need your prayers. My family needs your prayers. I will tell you something very personal. Right now, the Menke household is going through a crisis. Yeah. You want to know why? Because we started painting the inside of our house. We're painting the inside of your house, the church parsonage. So we pushed all the furniture in the living room to the middle. We took all the frames off the wall, and we began the process of painting. It took me all week, and what do you think I got done? I put up crown molding. One day, it took me all week, right, to work on this when I had time in between my pastoral duties. And one day, I wasn't able to start until later in the afternoon when the kids had come home from school. But just one kid was home from school. And he said, "Dad, guess what? I don't have any homework." And I said, "Guess what? You do. I need your help." So he did a good job holding the tape measure in the corner as I pulled it across to the other side, and then holding the 12-foot piece of molding as I went to the chop saw to cut it. And after the first piece, he said, "Dad, it was really nice to help you. I'm going to go watch TV now." And he ran off down the hallway. I didn't have it within me to force my will upon him, so I let him go. I did what I could for a while, and then when I got stuck, I called out and said, "I need you." And he came, and he helped me again. And so here I am today calling out to all of you for help. Help me, not with painting the parsonage or putting up molding, but help me like Moses was helped, like Jesus was helped. I cannot do it all. I need your help. I need you to pray. Your prayers matter. You have the power to forgive sins. You have the power to heal. You are like Eldad and Medad and that stranger who was casting out demons that the disciples got upset about. Better yet, you are like Jesus. You are like Moses. You have power. How? It says in our first reading that we are all under the same law, that God's law is sweeter than honey. How could the law be sweeter than honey? The law is sweeter than honey because before God's law, we all stand as equals. I have no higher footing than you do. The one who follows God's law is righteous and has power. It doesn't matter anything else. The law is our great equalizer, our giver of equity and justice and power. So when we follow the law, we shine with righteousness like the sun. When I was a child, I helped my father on the job site. He was a carpenter and a contractor. He'd say when I was very little, "Son, go get me the drill index. You'll find it in the trim bench behind the driver's seat of the tan van. And get the 50-foot extension cord. It's the color orange, coiled up, hanging on the wall of the van." And I would go and I'd find it. And I learned that if I listened to what he said, I would find exactly what he was asking for in the exact place that he said. And as the years went by, all he had to say was, "Get me this tool," and I knew where it was. And then as I got older, rather than just getting the tools, the drill was placed in my hand, and I was shown how to hold it straight and to drill a hole. And I made so many mistakes. So many mistakes. I remember when I was a teenager, I was helping put up trim at the end of a job, and there was a door in a bedroom, and I had to put the trim around the door, and I measured everything very carefully, and I cut the pieces, and when I put the two pieces of wood together, there was a big gap between the boards. And when that happens, it's called a 7-inch gap. But it was only about a half an inch. And I'd be lying to you if I said that this past week when I was putting up crown molding, if there wasn't a couple times when I made a cut and there was a big gap. But as the week went on and I practiced, I got better and better. And I nearly fell off my ladder when one of the final cuts I made fit together perfectly. I was so proud of myself. I was so proud of myself that I wanted to show off to Chris. He's an actual carpenter, a member of our church. He was here doing some work, and I said, "Hey, would you like to see the crown molding I did?" And he said, "Sure." And he came in and he looked around and he said, "Oh, wow, I see you coped the angles." And I said, "Yes, I did. My father taught me how." And he said, "Wow, you know, this is really better than your average homeowner." And I said, "Thank you. I'll take that." After that, Chris and I started talking about what it means to do construction, to build. It's a spiritual discipline to be able to build something. He shared with me the joy he has at seeing a project completed, to know that he helped give somebody shelter. And I told him about my dad's story, that when my dad was coming of age in the 60s, there was a war happening, and he wasn't able to serve in the military. It wasn't for him. It wasn't what he was meant to do. So he decided that he would serve his country by picking up a hammer and learning how to be a carpenter, even though he didn't have a person in his life to teach him. He figured it out, and he has spent his whole life building, creating shelter, serving his country and his God in that way. Jesus said that no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able to soon afterwards speak evil of me. You have power. So let us get to work. Let us build each other up. Let us each pray and be a hammer that drives a nail that builds shelter. One day we will all have shelter. One day we will all have peace. And one day we will all be healed. Amen. Please rise as you're able for the hymn of the day.